Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
I am the good shepherd, says the Lord. I know my sheep and mine know me.
Alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
Amen.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said, "Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever does not enter a sheepfold through the gate, but climbs over elsewhere, is a thief and a robber. But whoever enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens it for him, and the sheep hear his voice, as the shepherd calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has driven out all his own, he walks ahead of them, and the sheep follow him, because they recognize his voice. But they will not follow a stranger. They will run away from him, because they do not recognize the voice of strangers." Although Jesus used this figure of speech, the Pharisees did not realize what he was trying to tell them. So Jesus said again, "Amen, amen, I say to you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved, and will come in and go out and find pasture. A thief comes only to steal and slaughter and destroy. I came so that they might have life and have it more abundantly." The Gospel of the Lord. This fourth Sunday in Easter Shepherd Sunday, Good Shepherd Sunday. And all of the events of the Paschal Mystery, which we've been observing in recent weeks, they fulfill the hope that we heard in Psalm 23 with these words, "Even when I walk through a dark valley, I fear no harm, for you are at my side. Your rod and staff give me courage." And we hear always the voice of Jesus in the Psalms. Jesus himself, of course, walked through the dark valley of betrayal, crucifixion, burial. But God's rod and staff both gave him courage and kept him safe as the power of life triumphed in his resurrection. We can say that Jesus' voice is also our voice, we who are the body of Christ, into which you and I were incorporated, of course, when we were baptized. Jesus, our shepherd, keeps us safe. He shepherds us. He gives us life instead of death. Jesus has told us that, "I came so that they may have life and have it more abundantly." And the fact that you and I were given life thanks to our parents who were co-creators of life with God, we can say that our earthly life is a precondition for the supernatural life which God gives to us and into which the church has been given the mission to lead us. You know, Pope John Paul, whose beatification we celebrated 2 weeks ago, he refers to today's gospel in his encyclical, The Gospel of Life, in these words. And these are what Pope John Paul says. When he presents the heart of his redemptive mission, Jesus says, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." In truth, Jesus is referring to that new and eternal life which consists in communion with the Father, to which every person is freely called in the Son by the power of the Holy Spirit. Man is called to a fullness of life, which far exceeds the dimensions of his earthly existence, because it consists in sharing the very life of God. The loftiness of this supernatural vocation reveals the greatness and the inestimable value of human life, even in its earthly phase. Life in time, in fact, is the fundamental condition, the initial stage, and an integral part of the entire unified process of human existence. It is a process which unexpectedly and undeservedly is enlightened by the promise and renewed by the gift of divine life, which will reach its full realization in eternity. And the Holy Father continues, at the same time, it is precisely this supernatural calling which highlights the relative character of each individual's earthly life. After all, life on earth is not an ultimate, but a penultimate reality. Even so, life on earth remains a sacred reality entrusted to us to be preserved with a sense of responsibility and brought to perfection in love and in the gift of ourselves to God and to our brothers and sisters. In America's culture of death, the preaching of Peter that we heard about, having to do with repentance in today's second reading, has particular significance, particularly as we in the United States now live under an elected government which is committed to the full implementation of the culture of death. Our federal courts are now being packed with anti-life, anti-family, pro-death judges. Our government is attempting to gradually end all provisions which would permit medical professionals to opt out of abortions and euthanasia on grounds of conscience. Planned Parenthood and their allies are crucial pillars of funding and support for the team in control in Washington. The grave evils perpetrated by America's culture of death are not only the destruction of life itself, but our culture directly denies the dignity and the inherent worth of human life. And you and I know that it is possible to see simply by the light of natural reason that the actions and mindset of our culture of death are gravely evil. But in the supernatural light of our Good Shepherd, these truths are all the more certain and clear, as must be the resolve of every authentic Christian to defend human life. And I think here we have the ultimate sense in which Jesus Christ is our shepherd. He has taken our own humanity, he assumed our human nature at the incarnation, and he's taken our humanity through the grave into risen life. He's taken our humanity to the very throne of God our Father in heaven. And he has shepherded us out of the, you might say, the dominion of death and into a new humanity that begins on Easter. Repentance, as preached by St. Peter, becomes the fruit of this journey. Pope John Paul continues in this theme in his encyclical, the Church knows that this gospel of life, which she has received from her Lord, has a profound and persuasive echo in the heart of every person, believer and unbeliever alike, because it marvelously fulfills all of the heart's expectations while infinitely surpassing them. Even in the midst of difficulties and uncertainties, every person sincerely open to truth and goodness can, by the light of reason and the hidden action of grace, come to recognize in the natural law written in the heart the sacred value of human life from its very beginning until its end, and can affirm the right of every human being to have this primary good respected to the highest degree. And then he says, and I think this is very important for us to understand also what a legitimate political entity as a legitimate government is. And he says, upon the recognition of this right, that is the dignity of every human life, every human community and political community itself is founded. So political communities are founded on the recognition of the dignity of the human person, the right to life, you might say, of the human person. And then the Holy Father goes on, in a special way, believers in Christ must defend and promote this right. The gospel of God's love for man, the gospel of the dignity of the person, and the gospel of life are the single and indivisible gospel. This Sunday is also designated by the Church as World Day of Prayer for Vocations. And we know that the vision of the sacred dignity of the human person shepherded to life in Jesus Christ is the way in which the Church most effectively promotes vocations, especially to the priesthood. We pray that many will hear the call to devote themselves to fully proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the gospel of life, and to shepherd God's people in the very person of Christ. Many young people today, and I know this is true of the seven men who next Saturday morning will be ordained to the priesthood in the cathedral in Rockford, many are finding their vocation precisely because the Catholic Church is not afraid to witness to the sanctity of human life amidst the disaster of America's culture of death. I was just exchanging emails with a friend of mine a day or two ago, and I was recalling that before I became a seminarian, I was living in Colorado Springs, and there were a group of us every Saturday morning, which is when they had abortions, out in front of Planned Parenthood in Colorado Springs, summer, fall, winter, spring, from about 7:15 in the morning till about 10:15. The group of us that were praying the rosary, and we actually had mass in front of Planned Parenthood. And of our little group there, three of us have become priests, and one has become a religious sister. So that's actually where the new priests are coming from. They're coming from places like the sidewalks in front of Planned Parenthood. And I think that responding to this kind of vocation requires countercultural service, which is precisely the context that the pro-life movement offers. Devoting oneself to the defense of life provides a powerful seedbed for vocations to the priesthood and the consecrated life. And so let us pray this morning that there will be many good shepherds raised up, and let us encourage those who have accepted this call.